Hi everyone, this is Shai from Israel, raising the frequency, מעלים את התדר, and today I'm very happy to have on this podcast Matt, a new friend of mine actually. Hi Matt.
Shalom haverim.
Excellent Hebrew man. Matthew Maruka. I came to know him through Jack Cruz. Some of you did see the podcast I did with Dr. Jack Cruz. I came to know Matt. He's a brilliant guy. He's only 18 years old, very likable, very lovable, very intelligent. And I think mostly why I host him on this podcast, because as part of the plan I have, or the program I put out to protect our kids in this digital industrial age, my emphasis or my message to parents for this podcast is to for Matt to help you understand why your kids don't want to listen to you when you talk to them about health. All right, so whether your kids are teenagers or even younger, I mean they're getting older quite fast now, but basically when you try and improve their health, especially if they have some health issues, whether it's immune diseases or other stuff that unfortunately many young kids have many diseases at an earlier age nowadays, why they don't want to listen to you about their health. I think Matt has a very impressive personal story, and he will share it with us. He will share his way and his discoveries, and he has a message for you kids and teenagers, and he has a message about health in general. So Matt, the stage is yours. Hi Matt, how you doing, man?
Going. So yeah, I just want to let everyone know that we've got a really good show for you here. You know, I'm just going to start with a little bit of a brief story of myself, but really, cool. It's not about me. It's about the information we're going to share with you. So I encourage you to, you know, follow along and see what you resonate with, and what you resonate with, maybe dig a little deeper into that.
Cool.
So just, you know, me. My name's Matt. I'm from a little suburb town outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm a triplet. I was born through in vitro fertilization, which actually led to some of the health problems I have down the road, and a C-section where my mom's stomach was cut open, so I didn't get the gut flora from the vaginal canal. So basically, why am I here? Well, you know, Shai found me interesting to talk with because I can do this really cool thing where I take what Dr. Cruz says that most people a lot of the time can't understand, and I make it really understandable, but I still am able to retain the essence. And I think it's just because, you know, I've gotten to know Dr. Cruz and I understand what he's about. I understand the message he's sending, so I can pass it along with the essence. And at the same time, because I'm still young, I can still share this material of quantum biology that I've read through, but in a way that someone who's a bit younger, or someone who hasn't studied all of the neurosurgery and medical literature like Dr. Cruz has. So, you know, long story short, I was growing up not questioning anything, and naturally I began to have some health problems. Now, everyone, I would say, in our society has health problems. We don't function as well as we could, but most of us are on an average level. Now, I was, you have a bell curve, you know, all things in nature follow a curve where they stay within, you know, most people are within the middle. Well, I was on the extreme where I had some really, you know, severe issues. Not as bad as like childhood cancer, but it was bad enough that it made me look for a solution. Now, that's the thing. Key point is that most people don't look for a solution because they're just okay with the way you are. And I'm just going to warn you, if you are just okay with the way you are and you're not striving to be better, you could have some serious risks coming down the road, because the way, basically what I'm saying is that if you're not living your life differently than the masses, you look at the disease rates for the masses, and that's where you're headed. So it's really important for you to follow along with this information and learn about why what the masses are doing is leading and causing towards this massive, these massive skyrocketing rates of chronic disease.
And I would just, sorry Matt, I will just, sorry for cutting you, I would just add, because I forgot to mention, Matt is shirtless, and out of solidarity, I'm also shirtless. And Matt will explain why he's shirtless most of the time. Go on, Matt.
So shirtless outside is great when you're getting the natural sunlight. When you're inside on a computer, you don't necessarily want to be shirtless you know, it's just good because it makes the vibe really good. But in general, when you're indoors, if you have all those bright lights turned on, especially at night, it's actually better to cover your skin from all that fake light. It's all about getting in the light that our body's designed to work with and not the light that it's not. So just to my story, most people are never pushed to the edge, to that desperation where they look for a solution.
Yeah.
But I was. Basically, I had headaches every day. My stomach hurt all the time. That was growing up. By the time I got to high school, 13 years old, first year of high school, it was really bad. I had already gone to gastroenterologists, regular doctors, allergists during my young childhood. And yeah, they helped a tiny bit, but not really. The issues kept getting worse. So I found, through a little light bulb moment, I ate some French fries, I got an acne breakout, and I thought, the oil from the fries is going to my face directly. Maybe my gut's damaged. How do I heal a damaged gut? You know, cool thing is that led me to the paleo diet, because they're all focused on food and the gut. And I felt so much better after cutting out dairy, sugar, refined vegetable oils, and dairy, sugar, and grains, all grains. I felt so much better. I felt it. But all of a sudden, over a few weeks, the high was up, and then I was back down again. But I was going down worse. I was trying to do a high-fat, low-carb diet, but couldn't stick to that diet. And that's the thing a lot of people have problems with. When they go into diets, they do it for a few weeks, and they can't stick to it. And oftentimes, they're trying to cut carbs, but the problem is that their body needs those carbs. Because when your mitochondria that Dr. Cruz talked about, your little powerhouses in your cells, when they don't work well, we'll talk more about why they don't work well later, but when they don't work well, you need carbs. So if you are someone who finds that you need to eat something, three meals a day even, if you need three meals a day, or you need to eat snacks throughout the day, or you're getting hungry and hangry, they call it, when you're hungry and angry, that probably means your mitochondria are damaged, so they need to burn sugar because they can't burn fat, because that requires more high-quality mitochondrial function. Yeah. So basically, that was what was happening to me. And I would go on these strict food diets, and I wouldn't be able to keep up with them. And I would end up binging, guilting myself, and it was just really bad for the whole year of my end of my first year of high school, beginning of my second year. Finally, though, in my second year of high school, because of the paleo diet, Dr. Jack Kruse was kind of part of that community. I learned about Dr. Jack Kruse, and I was interested in him because of his ice baths, cold thermogenesis, he calls it. It just seemed so cool to me. Get in freezing water, burn your fat stores, and you can get really healthy, like the Iceman, Wim Hof, if you've
yes.
ever heard of him.
Yeah, sure.
Definitely check him out. So basically, I started the cold thermogenesis, and I saw, I need to do the leptin reset. Dr. Cruz has a leptin reset, which is the first step in restoring your circadian rhythm and mitochondrial function, especially if you're overweight or underweight, which most people are. This is interesting stuff that most people don't notice, but I go to my school, I look around at the people around me, and most people, overweight is well known, but most people don't notice how many people are underweight. I look at kids, young children,
wow.
and they're pale and skinny.
Yeah.
And that was me, believe it or not. I was very, very pale, very, very skinny growing up, and my friends made fun of me for it. And
it's quite common when you have a gut problem, it's very common.
I had gut problems. Yeah, gut problems are very common today. A lot of people have these issues, but because they're not pushed to the point that I was, they don't look for a solution.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm telling you guys, and I want this to be a really special podcast. I want this to be something that anyone who watches this shares it with your friends, because this is something everyone needs to know. If you're watching this and you have a kid, I believe you have an obligation, like Dr. Jack Kruse said, to your child to learn about this information. If it's just you and you want to harm your health, then that's fine. But if you're harming your child's health because you refuse to learn about this information, then that is wrong. Dr. Cruz said that's like child abuse, and I agree completely. So also pass this along to people of, this is cool because it's going to have Hebrew subtitles. So English speakers can look at this, Hebrew speakers, and that covers a lot of people. So this could go really far. And it's really important because this is my first podcast, actually, so I'm a little nervous. I'm going to try to, take it slow.
It's cool.
Stuff comprehensible for you. But just know, we might miss a few details, but the essence is here. And it's really, really important that you guys get this message, because you don't want your kids to end up like I did, really sick, 10 years down the road when they can't find the answer because, they're already locked into a job. They already have tons of college debt, which is more common in the United States. I don't know how it is in Israel. But either way, when you're locked into a job and you have kids, if you have bad health problems, a lot of the time you can't do the things that are required to fix. So sometimes it's best if you can get this stuff young. So it's important for people to learn about this stuff.
And I want Matt, hang on a second. I want to tell the audience something which is quite cool in a way. I mean, try to take like zoom out from this podcast. And please understand that Matt is 18 years old. And he had this problem since he was born, basically. And in the past few years, on his own, researching, going to doctors, going to therapists, until after going through several types of diets, he came up and met Dr. Cruz and started to actually implement some of what Dr. Cruz is saying. And I think even Matt knows this, is just at the beginning of it. I mean, he's young and he's implementing stuff, scientific stuff, into his daily life, and we're going to get into it in a second. I want to pause for a moment all this information, and I want to address, actually, this is especially for you parents and for your kids. I want, Matt, for you to address the kids, because although this is your personal story, I want kids to understand, because they don't want to take shit from adults. This is quite, we all agree on that, whether you're a parent or you're a kid. We don't want to take kids from our shit from our parents. We want to decide ourselves. We want to speak to our mates. We want to look it up on the internet. But we also get lost and we get stuck in patterns. We get stuck into conditioning, and very difficult to come out of it. We go to doctors and we get upset. We do what they tell us to do and we get upset. Matt, what is your message to kids, to youngsters, to teenagers? What is your message?
All right, so this is a tough one because, like Shai said with Dr. Cruz in the last podcast, a lot of time kids want to listen to their parents, you know? Naturally, kids oppose our parents. We oppose authority. And so one of the things I've been studying that isn't health is education. It just interested me. I came across a podcast called the School Sucks Podcast. If you understand English well, I strongly recommend you go check it out. School Sucks. It talks about basically how institutionalized schooling, all public and private schools, basically weren't a concept until about 200 years ago or 100 something years ago in Prussia, Germany, before in the early German state. So they had an issue where people weren't obedient enough to the state. And so they created something called Schule, which is basically, you know, a massive institution where kids come as soon as they're young enough to think, basically, you know, age 5, just like we do today. It's the exact same thing all around the world. Basically, the school is the mechanism to turn kids into whatever the state needs. So, you know, soldiers, you know, workers in offices, and it's very effective. It works. You know, kids go into school and they all come out, in the vast majority, no longer even want to make the decisions for themselves. They can't, because we haven't been given these faculties or they've been stolen from us. But we go directly to college on our own choice. 4 more years of this, basically, intellectual imprisonment. We choose to go into it because we haven't been taught to think for ourselves, so that to think that there's another option out there. But just so you know, there's a book about this, if you're interested, called Underground History of American Education by The Underground History of American Education, but the interesting thing is that it expands to the whole world, because the whole world
is working on the same system.
It's the same system, more or less.
Yeah.
Now, why is this important for a student? You and I, if you're a kid listening to this, and to be honest, a lot of kids might not listen to this, because, you know, this is for parents. Kids don't even oftentimes look into their health. But let's just say someone has, or a parent, you can show this to your kid. You don't want to listen to your parents. I get it, okay? It's totally fine. A lot of the time, I didn't either. But if you're doing what everyone else is doing, you're going down a really, really negative path. Because if you just look up disease rates, they're really high. And if you're not doing something radically different from what your friends are doing, then you're going down that same path. And I know we all think, oh, that's never going to happen to me. That's never going to happen to me. But until it does, you know, it does eventually to a lot of people. And the scarier part is that the disease rates that we have right now aren't the ones that we're going to have in 10 years. Since the innovation of electric, iPhones, iPads, computers becoming widespread, Wi-Fi, this is the first 20 years of this experiment, and only the last 10 years have cell phones been, have the iPhone and smartphones existed, and only in the last 5 years have little babies been getting iPads.
Yes.
And ADHD rates, autism rates, and all of these things are reflecting this issue, the massive impact that it has on brain development.
Yes.
So if you are a kid or an adult and you think that your kid's somehow not going to be affected by this issue, you are wrong. And you might be lucky, but it's like Russian roulette. You're literally, there's bullets in the gun, and you're just shooting yourself, waiting for it to come. And it's not like you're passing it around the table. It's like you're just shooting them all. So it's going to come eventually, no matter what you do.
So,
this is really important for people to get. And so if you're a kid, I encourage you, if you don't want to listen to your parents, go to Instagram, follow me, Matty M, M-A-T-T-Y, __M. Or Facebook, Matt Maruca, M-A-R-U-C-A. Just follow me. I'm literally just trying to put out cool stuff about how we can be healthy in this modern world and have a great time. You want to look better. Young kids want to look better. You want to look good. You want to have that edge on, if you're forgetting girls or for girls for, looking as good as you can. I promise you, if you're watching this and you're a teenage girl, makeup isn't making you prettier. It's blocking ultraviolet light from your skin and actually making your skin worse. And
cool.
You're going to have more wrinkles and more issues down the road. So you want to be connecting to nature because that's how you optimize your health, and that's how you make all of your cells function well. And then mates, potential mates, they see you and they see that person's really healthy. That would be a good person to have a child with. And that's what sexual attraction is. So, this...
And
this
I will just add, Matt, I will just add that, again, when Matt was growing up, he was white, pale, and skinny. All right? Now he's
more tan,
and much healthier, and he's not skinny anymore. He's building up his muscles, not because he's going to the gym and lifting up weights. Okay, he has.
Yeah.
Say again.
It's really good you mentioned that because this is interesting. So I don't mean to I don't want to show off. But, I've gotten pretty strong through all of this stuff, and I never go to the gym. I haven't gone to the gym in 3 years. I never go to the gym. I hardly ever exercise. Literally, all I do is sunbathe and take ice baths and move my body, naturally. Yeah, I landscaped for 2 months this summer, but I was already really strong before I started landscaping. It just helped, in 1 year when I, so between my sophomore year, just to, finishing that story I was saying.
Yeah.
I learned about Dr. Kruse in my sophomore year of high school. My junior year, I went over closer to you guys to Bosnia and Herzegovina, Eastern Europe. So, the opposite side of the former Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
But still, I was there and the environment's much healthier because less EMF.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied this stuff for 10 months, just 10 months. I came back and all of my teachers were like, who are you? What happened to you? They didn't even recognize me for a few minutes. And then I said, it's Matt. I'm Matt. What happened? It's me. And my friends were like, dude, what did you do? And all my friends all of a sudden, after this year, started getting really interested because, it was freshman year, problems, sophomore year, finding solutions, junior year, or third year of high school, we had freshman, sophomore, junior. Third year of high school, I was implementing them and totally changed. And fourth year, back here at home and finally trying to share it with people. But the thing is that a lot of my friends, they didn't want to listen. I made a club at school. We called it the Optimal Club. We had probably 50 kids in the club, learning about the stuff. And people were like, oh, that's kind of cool. But they didn't get the message. They didn't get the whole point.
Yeah.
And so I learned through that experience that people don't just care about blue blocking glasses and red phone filters. They didn't, that wasn't the message alone. The message is that when you are disconnected from nature, your body isn't going to work as well as it can, and you're not going to live the life that you can. So that's basically all that. I think we can move on to the next section. Or
let's get juicier. All right. So, according to you, according to Matt Maruca, what's the best way to keep an optimal health in this digital industrial age we are all living? And by answering this, for sure, because it's the same answer for everyone, you're going to address parents as well as kids. I mean, it's the same solutions to everyone. Go on, give us your rock and roll, man.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do. This is, it's perfect timing because basically I'm in the sun and I've been sunbathing and now I'm getting really hot. So what I do, and this is how I solve all my issues, you know, between in across a few years, I would go from the sun to the cold, which is Dr. Cruz's cold thermogenesis protocol. Shai, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Just making sure I got the connection. I also, this is kind of cool. I'll just show you guys why I'm walking so slowly. I have an Ethernet cable that's giving me connection. And so I have to make sure that I don't disconnect it from my computer. So I just, you know, let me know if you notice anything. But I have an ice bath right here. This is what you're looking at. And it has a plank of wood going across the top so that I can use my computer while I'm in here. So I can be sitting inside in the ice bath and optimizing my health all the while. Now, let me make sure, Shai, you still there?
Yeah, go on.
All right, cool. Yeah, we've had some problems with that. Multiple times that it gets unplugged the slightest bit. So here, I'm getting in this bath. I have a bunch of ice that I put in here before the show. So this bath right now is about 55 or 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Now in Celsius, that's probably about 12 Celsius, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's cold. It's pretty cold. And so here's the deal. In order for me to give a good background, I'll explain why this is important. It all goes back to mitochondria. Now, in order for me to give a really good understanding of what can you do in the modern world, I have to explain why what we're talking about is radically different from what everyone else is talking about in health. So do you mind if I give that background, Shai?
Go on.
All right, so there's a video I just put on YouTube. It was about 45 minutes. Long description. It's called The Most Important Factor in Optimal Health. And Shai in the show notes can link my YouTube page or something. So you can watch that for more detail, but I'll try to distill it down as short as I can, you know, maybe a few minutes. Basically, think about life, okay? About 4 billion years ago, all life began around these hydrothermal vents at the bottom of the oceans, okay? And that was infrared light coming out of these strong, strong vents from the core of the Earth, basically. And that did some cool, crazy stuff with water that basically began what we call life. Now, life has been going on for about 4 billion years. So we're going to fast forward about 2.5 of those billion years. In that beginning period, all life was single-celled organisms. So that means bacteria and archaea. Single cells. There might have been colonies, but each organism was a single cell. Now, Dr. Cruz talked about a guy named Dr. Doug Wallace. He's the world expert on mitochondria, the organelles in our cells that keep us alive. He works in my city, so I actually got to go down and meet him. It's like a perfect coincidence. And I asked him these questions, and he gave me these answers, and this is what I'm about to tell you. So basically, I asked him, how was it that two of these bacteria combined, and that created all of the complex life we see? Animals, plants, fungus, yeast, how did that happen? Okay, because remember, all life was just single-celled organisms that are so small, they're probably living on this camera screen and you can't even see them, okay? That's how tiny they are. I asked, you know, he said, okay, keep in mind, all life uses energy to prevent the processes of decay. In other words, if you, for example, if you fart in a room, all the gas spreads out. That's called entropy. In order for things to stay together, like my particles, you need energy to create structure. So that's what he was saying. Life uses energy to prevent the processes of decay. Okay, now, you basically have a bunch of these little organisms, and a bacteria uses all the energy it can get from its environment to build itself and to keep itself together. Okay, simple enough, right? But then how did we get so big? Well, one bacteria noticed that there's 1,000 other bacteria. And each of those 1,000 other bacteria, basically, they have the same genes, and they're all spending all their energy just to, you know, make those genes work and maintain themselves. And that takes tons of energy. So this one bacteria basically said to all these other bacteria, why don't you come in, hang out with me, and I will delete all of your genes and put them into my common repository called the nucleus. That's what we call it today. Yeah. And so now all those individual bacteria, instead of 1,000 bacteria having 1,000 genes, you have 1,000 bacteria with only 13 genes each. And so the amount of energy that's saved, because they don't all have to maintain 1,000 copies of those genes, only 13, it's a massive amount of energy saved. So now you have a host cell, which is all of our human cells.
Yeah.
So every cell in my body is a host cell. And inside each of your host cells, you have thousands of mitochondria, which are their own bacteria. So we talk about animals and plants as like a different type of life, but really what we are is we're a bacterial super colony, is what I like to call it, because literally you have 100 trillion cells in the average adult human, and each of those 100 trillion cells has another 1,000 to 2,000 mitochondria. So here's why this is important. This is what we're talking about. Nobody else in the health world is really talking about. I mean, it's getting more popular, but it's not focused on.
Yeah.
What this means is that your whole existence, your entire existence, is based upon the energy coming from mitochondria. Now, a way you can know this is true, if you want, hold your breath for the rest of this podcast. And what's going to happen? You're going to die very quickly, because when your mitochondria don't have oxygen, they use oxygen to make energy. That's why we breathe. We breathe in oxygen, and then our mitochondria makes CO2, and we breathe it out. So you die if you don't have oxygen very quickly. Another way, cyanide. In World War II, they had cyanide tablets on their neck. You know, this is a purple crystal I have to reflect purple light into my eye. But they take the cyanide tablet, they bite it, and they'd be dead right away because it makes the mitochondria stop functioning. So now you get it. If the mitochondria don't work, you're dead. Now, here's the interesting thing. Mitochondria aren't just working or not working. It's a long spectrum. So they can be not working. They can be kind of not working, which means you have diseases. They can be okay, which means you're just like everyone else, and you're probably not that healthy if you're just like everyone else. Or they can be good, and they could be even better, or they could be great, like Usain Bolt, someone from Jamaica who's the world's fastest sprinter.
Yeah.
You guys know Usain Bolt. Those are really good mitochondria. He's always out training. He's from Jamaica, good sunlight. And so the point is that our goal is to make our mitochondria better, because they're the things that keep us away from death. You guys know Isaac Newton. You know, he's world famous physicist, discovered
the laws sure.
Obviously, in the 1700s, he discovered the laws of motion of physics. He said, and I'm taking this from Dr. Doug Wallace, the mitochondrial researcher, basically. He said that for anything to move, you need energy. So if you zoom out now, take a picture in your head of Earth from space. It's just a big rock. So then you zoom back in. Why are these things moving? You know, where is the energy coming from that Newton said we need energy for things to move, for them to be animate? Where is all this energy coming from? Well, it's coming from our mitochondria. So even if I sit still, I'm still moving inside. My heart's beating.
Yeah.
The enzymes are moving. Proteins are moving. Where is the energy coming from to do that? It's coming from your mitochondria. Now, what do you think happens when you decrease that function? Well, your higher level, most energy demanding functions won't have energy to carry those functions out anymore. And what's that going to look like? That's going to look like dysfunction. In other words, disease.
So, Matt, what does mitochondria don't like? I mean, what disturbs it?
Yeah, what disturbs mitochondria? Well, all living organisms are dynamic systems, constantly changing, constantly in flux. So it's not like you're just born with your cells the way they are and your mitochondria the way they are, and they just stay that way. And every single thing you do every single day has an impact on them. And so, you know, you don't need to be too hard on yourselves about all the tiny details, but you got to get the right patterns down to optimize these things. So basically, the reason I said that is because every night when we sleep, we're regenerating ourselves. If you look at organisms, we used to be asleep. If you look at a bacteria, you could consider it to be sleep. It isn't moving. It's constantly in a certain state. Now, once we develop more, we develop movement. So we could get more food and stuff during the day when the sunlight's out. Now, notice we kept sleep as a critical part of our health. And why did we keep sleep? Why can't we always be awake? Well, because sleep is our primordial state. And that's when we regenerate. And we've packed all of our regeneration into that time. So it better be really good. Otherwise, we're going to be really dysfunctional. So the reason I mentioned sleep is because most of you might be familiar with a chemical called melatonin. That's the most important sleep molecule. Some people take it to sleep. Don't do that. That's really bad because it messes up the natural cycle of melatonin production. But what that does, actually, its main function, most people don't know this, it repairs your mitochondria. Okay, it's a strong mitochondrial antioxidant molecule, basically. And there's thousands of papers published on this in PubMed and all of these journals all around the world. But essentially, your melatonin repairs your mitochondria. Now, this is what's interesting. Your melatonin doesn't just come for free, okay? Your body innovated these cycles, all of our bodies, over these billions of years, these last 2 billion years of evolution since this merging happened that created all complex life. So sleep works on a diurnal cycle, which means during the daytime, sunlight hits us, it wakes us up as soon as it gets light. Remember, birds are very connected. You hear the birds chirping early in the morning, and that's when first light's coming. They're up as soon as the light comes, they're up. So that's what we're supposed to be like. We're getting up before sunrise, as soon as the light comes out, because we're supposed to be really sensitive to it. We wake up, we get light, we go out, forage for nutrients. Now, the critical thing for melatonin, you get that AM light that Dr. Cruz was talking about. You get the light once it's rising, and then throughout the day, that starts your body's natural hormone cycles, first thing. And then the way you make melatonin, after you've preconditioned your skin with that early morning light, then you do what I was just doing. You go out when it's a bit stronger and you get some ultraviolet. Yeah. And that's how you make dopamine and melatonin. And if, for those interested, go to Dr. Cruz's website and he has it in real depth. Now you could go to my website where I'm over the next few months going to be explaining it more simply, mattmaruca.com, okay? But what you need to know is that you need to get that UV during the daytime to make that melatonin. And then, just like Dr. Cruz said, it's two sides of a coin. You need to get that light during the daytime. And then at night, you need to not have any light in order for you to start secreting the melatonin that you've created during the day. So, again, the sun goes down, you know, right now at your latitude in Israel, it might be around, you know, 7:30 sunset or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, somewhere around there. Anyway, when the sun goes down, your body is designed to be naturally sensing darkness. So you're going to sense this darkness, and over a few hours of darkness, I think it's about 4 hours, then we start secreting melatonin.
Yeah.
That's when we're really tired and we go to bed. Now, here's the key to answer your question. Most people aren't doing this, and why aren't they doing it? Well, just go over to anyone's house or go outside next time the sun sets and tell me what you see. You see darkness? No, you don't.
No.
You don't see darkness. In fact, there's researchers from Israel. There was a landmark study done by researchers from Israel that artificial light at night is causing massive disruptions in human health and the health of other animals too. And it's actually one of the primary causes in this chronic disease epidemic. And that might sound like a bold statement, like just fake light is the main, you know, the main driver of a modern disease epidemic. When you start learning about fact that our body, our whole existence is based upon the function of mitochondria, our energy producers. All of our biologic functions are based on their function. And then that they need to be repaired to work well. They need certain conditions that they're optimized for. And then if our whole modern world for the last 100 years, and even more so in the last 20, 10, and 5 years, and even the last 1 year as 5G is starting to come out, we are literally destroying the function of these mitochondria.
You know, Matt, you know, when I first came to know Jack Cruz and his material and what he's been putting out, I was like, circadian rhythm, come on, that's the problem. And I must say that when I speak to people, sometimes I do get like responses like, all right, so the biological clock is a bit we disrupt the biological clock a bit. Okay, it's not the end of the world. I think there's worse things, like there's hormones in the food, there's metals in the water, and so on. There's other poisons. But actually, when you start to read the literature, the scientific papers and studies that were done on the effect of light on our biology, and we're talking about like since the 60s at least, okay, but let's take a point like in time from the 60s till now. It's amazing what the effect is on the mitochondria and the biological rhythms. And if we take just the, like you said, like the last 20 years and 10 years and 5 years. I mean, if we talk about people, how long do you have smartphones? How long you have smartphones? 5 years, 6 years, 7 years? Not much. Before that, we didn't have smartphones. We have like these types of phones, you know, the normal phones.
Yeah.
And how long you have Wi-Fi in your house? 5 years, 7 years? Again, not long. Before that, it was all modem with the cable. So if we take just the last 5 years that we, all of us, we have LED lit screens shoved in our faces day in, day out. We are all hooked on these screens, on this LED light. And this LED light, which contain a lot of blue light, and I want you now to go into blue light and tell the audience about blue light and the mechanism that affect mitochondria, the mechanism that affect our health and the circadian rhythms. Go.
Absolutely. All right. So just going to touch on one thing that you did say that's really, really important first before getting into blue light, but we will get to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you talk about hormones, all these chemicals in the environment. Now just think about this for a second. You and I are living organisms of chemicals and all kinds of materials structured by light frequencies and electromagnetism. This isn't debated. That's just
yeah.
who we are. Okay? Now, naturally, through the environment, we are going to be faced with things that could be toxic to us. We're going
yes.
to be faced with chemicals, with all kinds of things that, you know, negatively affect our biology or aren't meant to be there.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think would happen, Shai, you could answer this, if we had no mechanisms to get rid of all of those toxic things?
We get sick, we die.
Be sick or we die. So obviously, we would naturally innovate mechanisms to detox our bodies, to clear out things that aren't supposed to be there.
Yes.
Now, in order, remember, let's go back to Isaac Newton, laws of motion. In order to move anything, and that's what happens when you're detoxing, you're moving particles,
yes.
basically. In order to move anything, what do we need? We need energy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what's going to happen if we don't have... So we have all this energy, we've been functioning pretty well for a long time, we've evolved to this level of a human brain from apes and from previous animals. So we've been going forward. Now, what happens if we remove the energy that is necessary to carry out those detox processes? What's going to happen? Same thing.
Yeah,
same
thing.
We're going to not be able to get rid of them, we're going to get sick,
yes.
we're going to die. So people are worried about getting themselves exposed to these things, yet we've been exposed to toxic stuff for as long as time has existed. That's what our whole body is designed to, you know, keep what we need and get rid of what we don't. So do you think, just keep listening to this, does it make more sense to you to just try to run away from all the things that could potentially be harmful in your life, like hormones and chemicals and things? Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying go drink lead.
Yeah,
don't
sure.
do that. But do you think it makes more sense to just constantly run away from all these things? We've naturally been exposed to a lot of them. Not a lot of them we haven't. But we have mechanisms to get rid of them. Or to focus on improving the mechanisms to get rid of them and to live healthily.
I would say both. I mean, reduce the toxins, but also improve the mechanism that helps you detox.
Absolutely. So that's a really good point. Yeah, you definitely want to avoid where you can. But if you're just avoiding them and you're not working on the mechanisms to clear them out, then you're never going to, you know, be able to improve eat because you're going to accumulate them throughout
yes.
your life and have serious problems. So this is why Dr. Cruz said redox before you detox.
Yes.
Because if you have a high redox potential, in other words, high energy output from mitochondria, you're not going to be able to get rid of these chemicals. So yeah, you know, don't expose yourself to GMOs. You know, no one's advocating for you to go drink toxic water and things
yeah.
like that. Don't do that. But also, make sure you're focusing on the things that matter as well, like increasing your redox mitochondrial function. So this is what we're about to get into. Blue light. How is it specifically that artificial light is actually affecting melatonin? Well, basically, when we innovated this circadian rhythm, this diurnal cycle, this body clock, we had to pick some frequency from sunlight that we would use in order to keep the time. So we have these things in our eye that are rods and cones. People know these. These are the
yes.
camera that
yes.
they allow us to see. Now we also have something, called melanopsin. These are like rods and cones. They're a photoreceptor. but they absorb all light between 400 and 465 nanometers, and that means blue, all light in the blue range, melanopsin absorbs. Now, you don't see that it's absorbing that light like you do see what your rods and cones are absorbing, but it's still there. You, in your eye, most people know this, you have a camera. Dr. Cruz mentioned this. You also have the clock in your eye. So when blue light hits the melanopsin receptors, it stimulates all of these functions between your central retinal pathways all the way into your brain, into your hypothalamus, and the suprachiasmatic nucleus, SCN for short. That's your master circadian timekeeper in your body. Blue light triggers that to basically either say to your body, hey, there's blue light, it's present, let's suppress melatonin, not release any melatonin, let's make cortisol, let's wake ourselves up and get moving for the day. That's what blue light does. It's so simple, so simple.
So basically, what you're saying, blue light is daytime. Blue light is wakeful state. Blue light, there's no melatonin.
Yeah, so exactly. When there's blue light, our brain stops secreting melatonin. And anyone, I mean, this is the craziest thing about this is that it's so well researched.
Yes.
Like certain things that we're going to talk about, maybe EMF, grounding, things like that, there is a lot of research, but none of them are as well researched as the health effects of blue light. Blue light is just, you know, you could go on Harvard University, look up the dark side of blue light.
Yes, I know it, yes.
Series of papers about it. And it's so obvious that this stuff's toxic. But the thing that gets really interesting, why don't people know about this? Well, maybe it's that the largest industry, one of the largest industries in the world now, probably the largest, is the technology industry. So they're going to have to change their technology so much before people start to really realize that this is an issue and get healthy. But the problem is they're not going to change it until the people create a demand.
Demand, yes.
So this is why, you know, we're doing this podcast. This is why we're talking and doing our best to share this message. Because if you, the listener, don't go along in sharing this, you might think you're not part of the problem, but if you're not doing anything, you are part of the problem.
Absolutely.
Because you're perpetuating wrong beliefs. And there's a good quote I've heard from someone, you can't be neutral on a moving train. So the train is going towards sickness and health and disease, and if you're a bystander on that moving train, might as well just be, you are a part of the train going in the wrong direction. So the only thing you can do is jump off or try to point people the other direction.
Sure.
And this is the most important point we can make in the whole podcast. If you don't take this information, read about it maybe a little bit at least, if it makes sense to you, and try to share it with other people, try to become more informed, then you're just like the ignorant masses, for example, in World War II, who allowed really bad things to happen because they didn't challenge the authority and what was going on. And that might be a really stark comparison to make, because we all know how horrible the world was in World War II when people just stood by and let really bad things happen.
Yeah.
But this is what they talk about in the School Sucks Project. 75 years ago, we saw the Holocaust, and obviously Israel is very, and this is very personal, but, you know, to this nation of Israel, but it's a very important point. The reason why that happened is, I mean, Germany is one of the most schooled nations. The people were so well schooled that they didn't even question the rise of a completely authoritarian dictatorship. Not at all. They were like, they hailed the dictator, you know? And then we wonder, how did that happen 75 years ago? You know, again, listen to this podcast, The School Sucks Project. It'll make so much sense to you why, if you're a bystander in the world where things are going in a certain direction, you're not innocent. You are a part of the problem if you're not opposing the problem.
I will say,
harsh.
Matt, I will say a couple of things. The first one is actually, so sorry to say it, but the Second World War and Germany and the German war machine was mostly funded by American corporations.
Exactly, and Americans stood by and let it happen.
Yes, exactly. So, but this is just for the audience to remember. I mean, it's not just Germany and Hitler, etc. It's a much bigger picture, and the corporations run the world since even before, obviously, Second World War, and much more even today. And I totally agree with what you're saying. Don't stand by and let things happen. Do something. And I'm going back to the blue light to say something that I think I heard Jack Cruz saying it, that on average, I think it was 4 years ago, on average, youngsters, they look up on their phone, on their screen, 150 times a day. So, or maybe you said it. No, I think it was Jack saying it. So basically, just to let the audience understand, looking, and this is 4 years ago, I mean, now it's probably 300 times a day, but let's say 150 times a day, looking at your phone, it means 150 times a day, you're sending a signal to your brain saying it's noontime on the equator. Summertime, noontime, summertime on the equator. Even if you do it at 12 o'clock at night, you actually telling your brain it's daytime.
Yes. Yeah.
How does this affect the system?
It's pretty simple. I mean, it's just telling the brain that it's one time, you know. So, for example, this is something Dr. Cruz has talked about a bit. If you're blasting your brain with blue light, this is going to create, you know, you're going to start to want carbohydrates even if it's the middle of the winter, because you're telling your brain it's the middle of the summer.
Right.
Now, that's just one kind of side effect. But really, the hormonal effects are really serious, because you're getting this constant spike of blue light, of cortisol. This is where it can get really interesting. Cortisol is made from a precursor hormone called pregnenolone. Now, also made from pregnenolone are testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I want everyone to think about something. In our world, we have an epidemic of infertility. I even said my parents had trouble getting pregnant.
Yes, yes.
Using fertilization. This is very common. It's not uncommon.
Yeah.
One in seven couples have a lot of difficulty getting pregnant, and I think that number might even be higher today.
It's higher, especially in Israel, it's higher.
Look at Japan. There's all these articles about how Japanese people don't want to have sex. You know, they're having less kids. Their population is declining for the first time in a long time.
Yes.
And we might think, oh, it's just an anomaly, but this is just the beginning of something really big if you understand the science, and that's why this is important. So just think about this. Cortisol, stimulated by blue light, is made from pregnenolone. Now, if you're constantly stimulating your brain with blue light to make cortisol, that's called pregnenolone steal syndrome. Dr. Cruz has written about it, because it steals pregnenolone to make cortisol, and you're no longer making testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone.
Right.
So alone, I mean, just for fertility, you're going to be probably infertile or have really bad sperm quality. So for you wanting to have kids, for example, for someone who wants to have kids, that's a problem. But the even bigger problem is if you do manage to have kids when you aren't, you know, biology is telling you don't have kids because you're not healthy enough to, your kids are going to have really severe health issues like autism and these kinds of things. And I think that's the worst thing someone can possibly do, is to have a kid when they're not healthy enough to have a kid, because that's like, you know, giving someone a life. Well, I mean, it's like child abuse. It's like, you know, birthing someone at an advantage because you were assaulting your biology.
But hang on. How, let's say a parent is giving their child the Coca-Cola, all right?
Mm-hmm.
How is this different? Or maybe it's not. What is worse? I don't know. I'm asking you, what is worse, giving a child Coca-Cola or giving your child an iPad?
Giving your child an iPad is much, much, much worse, okay? And this is something that most people just be like, what? No, Coca-Cola is the enemy, right? Coca-Cola is devil. Coca-Cola is Satan, right? But really, so here's the thing. Just like, this is interesting, and there's tons of research on this now too. When you are exposed to a bunch of bright blue light, that spikes your insulin levels just like sugar does. So this is really interesting. People aren't aware of the science, but it's actually published. And again, the reason why they're not aware of it is because, you know, there's all these special interests with large corporate interests, essentially.
Well, this and low dopamine levels.
Like that too. Most people don't know that dopamine isn't just a happiness chemical. It actually provides us with our ability to see patterns. So people with low dopamine levels can't notice patterns even if they're right in front of your eyes.
Really?
Literally, right in front of your eyes. That's the number one function of dopamine, is ability to recognize patterns and trends.
Really? I didn't know that.
there's tons of studies. Animals who have higher dopamine levels, they do. I mean, there's other neurotransmitters that are important in this process as well, like serotonin and so on. But so animals with higher dopamine levels would. I remember one experiment that I actually learned about in psychology in my school psychology textbook. And so even Dr. Cruz probably read this at some point in his life. But basically, they gave a rat the choice between. Basically, he had to go and, like, it was something like the rat was in the cage and had the choice between water, regular water, and water with cocaine in it.
Right.
So basically, it was something like water with cocaine, you know, it feels really good for a rat, I guess. So
yeah.
They would, and they put a little electrical thing between the rat and the cocaine water. So the rat had to choose to endure severe pain to get that water, but the rats chose it like every single time to get that stuff. And then they gave it like an increase in dopamine. I don't exactly know how they did it. Maybe it was with some oral dopamine or something, but the rat stopped choosing the thing that was painful because it started to recognize the pattern of the electrical shock,
right,
that was necessary to get the cocaine water, and started choosing the regular water. That's a very, very poor description, and the experiment was much better than that, and that's probably not exactly what it was like, but you get the idea. That's like one of the main functions. So people can't see the things that are literally in front of our eyes, like our phones. You know, the most obvious things right in front of your eyes become just completely, you know, invisible. And so
you're saying low dopamine levels basically disturbs you from seeing patterns?
Yes.
And this is something that has been proven in a scientific studies, right?
Yes. I mean, I've read a good amount of research on this stuff, and just because you're asked now, I don't want to be making big claims.
okay.
I just opened up a quick Google search, and yeah, it's right here. Dopamine bumps the signal to noise ratio in the brain, increasing pattern recognition, even for things that may not be there. So basically, patterns please us. They reward our minds to do, like, basically our whole existence, all of survival, is optimized by seeing patterns. So, you know, if you can't see patterns, if you can't know that, for example, you know, this is a very good example. If your buddy walks into the lion's den, okay, and he gets eaten. If you can't remember that walking into the lion's den is going to get eaten, you're going to get naturally selected out of the gene pool very quickly.
Obviously.
So you need to be able to know that that thing leads to that thing.
So basically, you're talking about cause and effect.
Basically, I mean, it's just pattern. It's just patterns. So you know, for example, that the animals pass by here at a certain time every day. You notice that pattern, and then you're there to hunt. When it's time to hunt,
yes.
You know, it's simple. And so in our modern world, we need a really high dopamine level because all of the forces around us are actively working to take advantage of us. Like, you know, the corporate, industrial, military complex, governments are always trying to gain more and more power and make people more and more like machines that are very predictable, that don't think for themselves and just follow the pattern. And institutionalized schooling does a fantastic job of that, and that's why we use it. And so people don't question authority. So this is the cool thing about the School Sucks Project podcast. Again, highly recommended to go there if you speak English. They might even have it translated, certain articles and stuff. But basically, we are just all not challenging authority. I was wondering, why is it that I didn't challenge for 13 years all of the stuff that I've been taught my entire life? Like, what... You know, how did I not even question this?
No, I think it's also because you trust your parents that they do the right thing for you. I mean, it's a bit complex to talk about these things when you're 13 years old. Obviously, it's a different thing when you talk about it retrospectively when you're 18 years old. It's a bit different. Your brain works a bit different now. And you look at things differently, obviously. But I wanted to ask you, Matt, You said just at the beginning or before the podcast about water. You want to speak to the audience about water. Do you remember that?
Yeah, so this kind of goes back to one of the reasons why what we're talking about is different from what other people are talking about in the health world. So, you know, everyone in the health world, most people are focused on diet and exercise. And most kids my age are going to the gym and pumping iron, you know, lifting weights, and they're all focused on eating healthily, and yet they're not getting any healthier.
Yeah.
So that's why when they see the results I've gotten, they're so interested. They're just fascinated. So here's the deal. Basically, water is really important because it is the energetic battery of all living organisms. And so this is something that is very well researched by a guy named Gilbert Ling. And I'll try to simplify it as much as I possibly can with my even kind of limited understanding, because his writing is very, very complicated. But basically, there's a theory of a guy named Peter Mitchell who won, I think, two Nobel Prizes. He created something called the chemiosmotic theory of mitochondrial function, basically. And so what that theory says is that mitochondria make ATP, and all ATP is the main energy source for life. So life uses that ATP, the energy stored in the molecular bond, and releases it, and that's where all the energy comes from for life. Now here's the thing, Gilbert Ling, whose work led, obviously you guys have the MRI machine in Israel, it's worldwide. His work is actually what led to the creation of the MRI machine. So this is how important his work is. But so it's like they took one thing from his work because it could make money, but the stuff that was inconvenient because they had already given Nobel Prizes to a different theory, no one accepted. So it's really funny how that works with money. But basically, so he studied all of the biologic reactions in a living organism and saw that the amount of energy that the organism is using in order to make reactions occur. And just so you know, in biology, all reactions occur through the use of enzymes.
Yes.
So enzymes make reactions require less energy so that they can basically proceed normally. And so he showed that the amount of energy that a living organism uses is something like, I think it was 7 times more than ATP alone can provide. I think that was the number he discovered, but apparently people have redone his experiments and found that the number has been even greater than that. So what I'm saying is that the theories that are governing the foundational beliefs of biology, and this isn't what I'm saying, this is what he's saying, but the theories that govern the foundational beliefs of biology are wrong. They don't provide enough energy to account for all of the functions that are occurring in biology.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Proust mentioned a guy named Richard Feynman, a very famous physicist.
Sure.
I believe this is his quote, but you could look it up and find the quote anyway. It's, if your theory breaks the second law of thermodynamics, your theory is wrong. Because the second law of thermodynamics basically means that energy can't come from nowhere. It has to be coming from somewhere. So if the body's using a certain amount of energy and it's not being provided by ATP, it must be coming from somewhere. Now, here's the really cool thing. He didn't just find this and not come up with a solution. His theory is called the association induction hypothesis, and it's part of something that Dr. Proust has really put together on his website. Strongly encourage people to check out his work, and I'll be simplifying it again on my blog, mattmaruka.com. But basically, is that water is the most important energy storage molecule in life. Now, how does water store energy, you might ask? Like, if you have a cup of water on the table, it doesn't seem like it could store energy. Now, first of all, fourth phase of water is a book that I encourage everyone to read, The Fourth Phase of Water.
Gerald Pollack.
You can get all these details, but I'll explain it as simply as possible. If you have water, it's an H, or it's an O, oxygen molecule in the middle, and two H's. Now, this guy, Gerald Pollack, who studied water and wrote The Fourth Phase of Water, he basically showed that when you have water and it's against a hydrophilic surface and infrared light hits that water, the molecules H2O break apart, and you have OH and an H. And the OH attaches to a liquid crystalline lattice, basically a liquid crystal. And then the H's are excluded to create this exclusion zone. That's the OH crystalline lattice. That's another way of saying that is structured water. So it isn't really H2O anymore. It's H3O2. I believe that's the right, I think that's right. H3O2 is the chemical formula of that special structured water. And the reason why he was researching this, just quick background, is because they noticed all of these anomalous properties of water. Like, for example, that surface tension, you know, that little bubbles on the surfaces of water, was much stronger in certain cases than the surface tension could predict. Other things, the formation of clouds, like the clouds above me. Theoretically, clouds shouldn't come together because, like, for example, most other molecules in the air, like nitrogen, oxygen, are equally spread out. So why is it that H2O molecules clump together? There was really no explanation. This guy, Gerald Pollack, explains it very well in the book. There's really no scientific explanation why clouds to come together. And he was thinking, you know, there's 60-something anomalies like this. And the fourth phase of water, structured water, that they discovered through their experiments basically solves all of these issues. So I highly recommend everyone read this book, The Fourth Phase of Water. It's written at the level that anyone can understand it, even like an elementary school reader. It's very basic, but maybe middle school reader. But so basically, the reason this relates to life is because every single molecule in our entire body is hydrophilic. Just about every molecule is hydrophilic, water-loving. Not all of them, but our cell membranes, all proteins are designed to attract water.
Yes.
So what happens, what Gilbert Ling basically showed, is that proteins don't work the same as in when they're dried up and studied in a lab under a microscope. Dr. Cruz mentioned the same thing. When you take proteins out of biology, dry them up and study them under a microscope, they're not the same as when they're hydrated by water. So Gilbert Ling showed that when ATP doesn't provide energy. What it does is unfolds proteins. Proteins are unfolded because, you know, protein biology are always folded up. So ATP unfolds them so water can bind to them. And then they're attached to this superconducting network of fourth phase structured water. And basically, again, Dr. Cruz mentioned this in the last podcast, very well, I think. But just to go over it again, you have water that's in this structured zone, and all of the other water, remember, the proton, the H plus, left the OH of the water. So all of those protons that were excluded now create something called protonicity. So not electricity, but protonicity. And that current of flow of protons is basically providing that missing energy for life. And the cool thing is that what that basically means is that, and remember, the energy isn't from the water. It's from the sunlight. It's from light. Water just stores it in this structured phase water, liquid crystalline water, whatever you want to call it, H3O2. That's how the water stores the energy. So the point is that the majority, we're actually designed to get most of our energy from sunlight. Now, it's simple. When you think about all the organisms that were on Earth before the two bacteria merged and created eukaryotes, all organisms lived on light alone, just pure light. They're able, you know, to use light energy, whether it's infrared light at the bottom of the ocean around hydrothermal vents or sunlight energy to survive. So eventually, we innovated eating food to be able to gain even more energy that other organisms had stored to become more complex. Because again, life is always trying to figure out how to gain more energy from the environment to prevent the processes of decay that we talked about, that Dr. Wallace told me about, in order to become more complex to increase our survivability. And right now, humans are like the pinnacle of that evolutionary process. But eventually, we'll go extinct and it'll all continue because evolution is just evolution, you know? The way we're talking about it, key point to make is that people are getting sick and this is happening, but it's still part of evolution. You know what I mean? When people are using the cell phone on their head and going to get brain cancer, or you know, using fake light, destroying their mitochondria and going to get sick, this is still part of natural selection and evolution. But the thing is that we don't want people to suffer because there's people taking advantage of them for profit.
Yes.
So that's why we're sharing this information. We don't want you to be part of that natural selection process. But if you aren't interested in saving yourself and helping your kids and your family, then this is going to happen. to you. You know, and it's not about fear. It's not about scaring people. It's just saying this is the science is indicating. These are what, look at the disease statistics for cancer and autism and all these things and how they're increasing. You know, people should really be doing something. So back to the water, though. We're designed to be getting most of our energy from sunlight. It's kind of the foundational energy for us, and food is an addition. So you add food, well, what do you think is going to happen if we just remove that basic primordial source of energy? Well, we're not going to have as much energy to carry out our biologic functions. Remember, when we don't have the energy to move things, like Newton showed, basically that means that we're going to end up with diseases because we don't have energy to carry out our functions, which leads to dysfunction, which we call disease. So when we cut out the sun from life, we're literally, I mean, here's the thing. I believe that humans could be up here. Like, I think humans can be so much better and healthier and stronger than we are. And if you look at people like the Native American Indians or the accounts of the Hawaiian Islanders in Hawaii before the Americans came and, you know, killed them and, you know, assimilated them all and everything, there's an account of a king that was 7 feet tall and like a beast, like a savage. I mean, in a good way. You know, in America we say like savage, oh, it's like a kind of common slang, like, oh, yes, he's a savage. Like, this guy was huge and strong, and there's all these accounts of him. And so what I'm saying is that I think humans could be like that. I mean, maybe not 7 feet tall, but we could all be really good. And so we're back at kind of a decent level. But when we go even below that decent level, we get really sick. So my friends, a lot of the time, they ask me, well, if this is all true, why don't we see the effects? And I say, look, the effects are clear. Look at how many people are sick. And the thing is that we don't have the reference point of how good people can be. So that's what I'm trying to do. And, you know, I was born in vitro with C-section, and I was really damaging myself most of my first 14 years. So I can only get so good. But my goal is to make myself as good as possible to show people. Like, sure, if we're doing all this stuff as well as we can be really good. And then if we're not, we could be really average. But if we're doing what most people are doing, we might even have diseases and issues. So really,
Matt, if like, in order to kind of wrap it up,
for sure,
what's your advice to, again, to everyone, not just to youngsters, not just to adults, what's your advice in order to reach and to keep a optimal health? I mean, what should one do, like, very quickly run through it, what should one do?
All right, it's really easy. The simplest thing you can do, sunbathe and take ice baths and then repeat. So just go in the sun, and in Israel you guys have, you know, more sun than I have in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So literally the best thing you can do is go to the beach, go in the sun, sunbathe, and go in the ocean, and then repeat. If you're so interested, go on online on some website. I don't know what you guys have in Israel, like Craigslist we have, where you can go online and people are trying to sell stuff. You could buy a feeding trough. Like, my ice bathtub that I'm in is just a rubber trough for animals to eat, to drink out of, for like horses.
Yes.
So you can buy one of these, fill it with water. I'm gonna be making videos on how you can make a lot of ice for a really good price. Pardon me. How you can make a lot of ice for a really good price. And take ice baths if you're interested, because that's probably colder than the Mediterranean Sea where you are. But, you know, go to the beach, sunbathe, and go into the water. And if you can't go to the beach, just go outside and get in the sun.
So hang on. I must ask one question. It's to do with cold water. I mean, I know also Iceman, Wim Hof is doing it, and Jack is doing it. You're doing it. What's the scientific mechanism behind it? I know Jack talks about the distance between the proteins. Okay, can you just run through it very quickly, just so people understand the logic behind cold water?
Yeah, okay, so it's very simple. Naturally, we would only be exposed to cold if we lived away from the equator.
Yeah.
So, and we're talking in a natural world, we'd only be getting cold at that point, but, and, you know, animals who migrated far away, Jack said this.
Yes.
Cold stimulates our mitochondria to release heat, and that is infrared light. That's another word for heat. And that causes the water around mitochondria to enter this fourth phase. Remember, I said fourth phase water is made with the infrared frequencies of light, particularly sunlight. And so that causes that water around mitochondria to be structured and able to better carry energy, and it condenses, it becomes more...
It shrinks. I remember Jack is saying that it shrinks because of the heat. I mean, water, when they cool down, when they freeze, they expand, and when they heat up, they shrink, which is something only special to water. So when they shrink, the distance between the proteins is getting smaller. Am I right?
Yes. And energy flows more efficiently.
Exactly.
And just, again, really briefly, the reason why this, even if you are a human who lives on the equator and your ancestors have lived there for 2.5 million years, the reason why this works, and Dr. Cruz explained this on, he hasn't explained this on your podcast, but on other podcasts
a long
time ago, basically 65 million years ago, so 63 million years before humans, dinosaurs roamed the Earth. And we were here in the form of a mammal ancestor that lived, it was like a rodent, a big rodent that became all mammals today. But it was only one animal at the time. And so basically an asteroid hit the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, and that caused the extinction of all the dinosaurs. Now our ancestor was alive at that time, and we all descend from that ancestor, anyone who's a mammal. So basically what that ancestor had to do in order to survive in freezing cold temperatures after that asteroid hit was to develop mechanism and the ability to burn its fat instead of just burning it as free heat, because this animal basically it burned its fat as heat while it slept to stay warm during hibernation 6 months of the year. But now it had to learn how to burn that fat as heat in response to the cold to stay alive while it was awake, not while it was sleeping, in response to cold. So every mammal alive today has this mechanism to react to cold when it hits our skin below 60 degrees Fahrenheit, and that basically stimulates our mitochondria to poke a hole in the electron transport chain where electrons flow. And basically when that happens, poking that hole, that's called an uncoupling protein. It causes the protons that are tightly held in the center of the mitochondria, which are supposed to be held there, that's how we make ATP, to unwind proteins so water can bind to them to carry all that electricity, just back to that part. But basically, pokes a hole, Dr. Wallace told me. And so protons begin flowing out. So imagine that you have a hose and you're watering your plants, and then someone pokes a hole in your hose. All the water is gonna start going out the hole, so you're not gonna be able to water your plants. So what the mitochondria basically does is it tries to start ramping up energy production more and more and more to try to keep the water flowing. And so it's like tricking the mitochondria to start making more energy.
Right.
And obviously it's released as heat. Dr. Cruz talked about that. Because we are uncoupled, white people like myself, we're more uncoupled, we're releasing that excess energy production as heat. And that's how we stay warm so we don't die. But the cool thing is that every mammal alive, even if you're an African human, still has these pathways in us. Now they might not be as efficient and as good as someone who's from Northern Europe, but anyone can use this. And again, if you're from Africa, you have dark black skin or something, you don't necessarily need the cold because your mitochondria are very efficient. But if you're someone from Europe, where I'm actually designed to be getting the cold to keep my mitochondria functioning, it's like the perfect coupling. I notice if I go somewhere like Mexico, I get really overheated, I get really hot. So cold actually has been really important for me. That's why cold's really good. So again, I'll go briefly through a day in the life of being optimal. Wake up, you know, go see the sunrise. Even just a few minutes, as soon as you wake up, go outside. And the more you do all this stuff, the more your rhythm will shift back. So you wake up, you know, recently, finally, after a while, I've started waking up much earlier. And so I woke up this morning, I went and watched the sunrise, got the light on my eye to wake up, okay? Do whatever you're doing. Just make sure during the day, whatever you're doing it outside. And if you have to do it inside, you're doing it without lights on. You're using natural sunlight. That's the most important thing. And if you need to be under lights because of your job, then you should definitely buy blue blocking glasses. And I sell blue blocking glasses. You can check out my website for that stuff, for custom ones. But there's plenty of distributors now, plenty of people who sell them. You could, you know, ask Shai about that. You know, that's really easy to find. But there are daytime blue blocking glasses that are yellow that let in a little bit of blue light that you could use, or you could orange ones that let in no blue light. But I'd say the yellow ones to let in a tiny, like a little bit of blue light's okay. during the day because it kind of keeps you awake. And it's not, you know, as long as it's blocking the most energetic frequencies, that's great. But again, try to do everything you can just outdoors. Just getting UV on your eye, even if you're sitting in the shade. This is really important. You don't have to be in the sun.
Yeah.
You can even be sitting in the shade, but you're still getting UV on your eye because it reflects off of stuff. That's really important because that's how you're making your dopamine, your melatonin, and everything. And then, yeah, you're not, obviously, when you're outside, you're not under a bunch of bright lights, which is the most important thing. So
yes.
Then, day continues, you know, what are you eating? Well, you know, you eat seasonally. Dr. Cruz talked about that, too. That's really easy. Eat seasonally and eat a lot of seafood, a lot of DHA. If you don't eat seafood because you're keeping kosher, then...
No, it's not about this, Matt. Also, Jack said that on my podcast, and there is also kosher fish. I mean, it's not about you. You can still
exactly.
eat kosher and have seafood. It depends which seafood, but go on.
Your solution. You have the solution there. Lots of DHA is really important in your diet, and then eat the rest seasonally. Continuing throughout the day, spend your time outside. Just live outside as much as you can. And again, if you're indoors, just get a lunch break. So when everyone goes outside for their lunch break or goes to the cafeteria, you can go outside, get the sunlight, you know, take your shirt off, just overcome that societal, you know, thing that people, you know, just
yeah.
forget what people think about you and just do it
yes.
if you can. If you can, it's fine. But basically, that's really important. And then most important, you know, or equally as important is when it comes to the evening, it gets dark, you just start to use less light. So throw on your blue blocking glasses if you're going to be exposed to light. But even better is stop using a bunch of fake light and get a red headlamp. For example, I have a headlamp that makes red light, and it's just a battery, a small tiny battery, so it doesn't create an electromagnetic field. I've measured it with my meter. So it's okay to have it on your head. And it's dim red light. I can see well, I can read, I walk around, and it stays with me. But whenever I don't need it, I turn it off. And so that way you're living in darkness. You know, it's not about just blocking blue light and
yeah.
having lots of bright light around. It's about getting darkness.
Yes.
And so then you do that. And I promise, really important too, I learned this because I did a fast recently, a 48-hour fast, so two full days. I started sleeping like a baby. And what I realized is that when you eat within 4 hours of sleep or 4 or 5 hours, I'm talking like, you know, anytime you're eating near sunset, you got to be careful because that – light release from the food in your gut keeps you awake, just like fake light on your eye.
Right.
So that's really important. If you, I mean, even like, for example, say you get home from work at like 9 or 10, it's best to just fast, go to bed. I promise you'll sleep better, especially if you're doing this stuff to improve your mitochondrial function. And then naturally, you should be getting really tired in the evening once you're avoiding all of this fake light. So you're going to get real tired, go to bed, and again, just keep the cycle going. And obviously, there's tons of other important stuff like spending time with people you love, pursuing your passion. If you hate your job, you can do all the stuff in the world for your health, but you're going to, you know, you're going to hate your job, you're going to hate your life. So, you know, do the stuff you like. I'm 18 years old, and I've started a business. I found that there was a demand for blue blocking glasses of custom frames. So I started tinting them, and like I'm making money. You know, I'm probably never going to work for someone else a day in my life. And sure, you know, it's easy for me because I don't have kids and stuff. But there are plenty of people who have kids who have figured out how to start their own business and pursue their passion.
Sure, sure.
So making excuses, it's just because, you know, they're just excuses. That's all they are. So,
yes.
You know, if you want to really pursue your passion and live a life of your dreams, it's possible. There's a book called The 4-Hour Workweek I recommend to people. There's lots of books.
Also, I must add, especially for, again, for parents and for kids. I mean, you don't have to be Matt. You have to be yourself. You have to follow your own path and your own life and your own way. Still, remember that you are the master of your own life. You can choose where to take your health to. You can choose where to put your attention and your consciousness. And what Matt has been, the path that Matt has been walking on, is actually from poor health, he has come out and maybe still has some work to do. It's fine. No, nobody's perfect. It's fine, absolutely fine. But through poor health, he has come out, improved his health, became more independent. Now also innovation is in the business. I mean, he became an entrepreneur, you know, and started his own business. I'm sure his mom is proud of him, all right? Because, and I'm sure also your two sisters, because he's a one of three, they're proud of him, because he's healthier, he's happier. I'm sure you help your mates and your friends. They ask you stuff and you give answers the best you can. You put out posts and blogs on your website, which can help, if someone chooses to read them, can help a lot of people. I've seen a couple of your videos and they are great. I mean, I've enjoyed a lot to watch them. And I think to set an example like this to parents and to parents to show their kids, to set an example like Matt is doing, I think it's very important in this age we live in this schooling system, in this statism, okay? When the state is become stronger and stronger and laws become stronger, etc. This is so important for young people to take their freedom back, to take responsibility for their own health and for their own life, and, you know, to become mature, but really mature, in a much faster and brighter way than even than I did when I was your age, you know? This is really cool, Matt, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity to have you on this podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Shai, for speaking. I really appreciate it. And again, the only thing that I'd like to add to that is that, you know, a lot of kids don't want to change no matter what. They're very resistant. And so, you know, eventually, you know, hopefully they won't get sick. But if they do, then, you know, all we can do is show love to people. If they don't want to listen, just show them that we care about them. And that's how we get people to open up.
Excellent.
You know, you can have some scientific studies, but they won't listen. Yes. But if they see that you care about them, then they want to listen to you. And so that's why people like Dr. Cruz are great, because yes, they show you that care, you see that passion, and then you want to listen to them.
Yes, so, excellent point. Excellent point. Thank you very much for that as well. And I will obviously put your website link and some links to your YouTube channel. I will put it down under this video after I translated everything. And God, you were speaking so fast. I'm thinking, how can I translate everything and put it in the same frame? But anyway, that's my job. Thank you very much, man. And when you're in Europe, give me a call or give me a sign, and hopefully you can come visit us in Israel. Thank you very much, man.
I would love to if you can. Yeah, thank you so much. I was going to come to Istanbul. It's not too far. So.
No, it's not. It's a couple of hours flight, I think.
That would be awesome. I'll keep you posted.
Cool, man.
All right. Thank you so much, Shai. Have a great day.
Take care, mate. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Yeah.